structure, discipline, accountability.
Mistreatment, misrepresentation.
Knowledge is power, y'all.
There has to be accountability.
This pandemic of toxic work culture and mistreatment has got to stop.
The podcast for federal employees by federal employees.
What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Fed Up. I'm your host, Ron Speakman, and today we will be picking back up where we left off from last week with part two of this interview with Danielle, a rural carrier from Pennsylvania, where we were last talking about the mistreatment from management. So let's welcome back Danielle, and let's jump right back into this conversation. Now, Danielle, you actually did. So in my platform here with Fed Up, I like to refer to these good people in management as unicorns, basically legends, right? That's basically, what they are. They're very rare.
One in a million.
But they are out there. And you actually had the pleasure of having one of these unicorns, correct?
Right. When I started as an RCA in my original office, I had the best boss. Like this man, what I like to call him is the old school postmasters. The old school postmasters that were like, you know, they would hear this yakety 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 from their boss, the poom, and they would be like, okay, and then they'd do what they want anyway. So, you know, he would be like, you know, hey, you know, if you have any problems, you just call me. You know, if your vehicle breaks down, I had part of the mountain and I had a Ford Taurus, so you know, it's not four wheel drive. He's like, you know, if you ever get stuck, you get stranded, you know, here, you just come back, call me, I'll bring you the keys of my truck. And even when he retired, he lived close to my route and he knew I was going to be going past his house every day. He said, if you ever have any, and I still had my POV route, which is you have to use your personal vehicle. So I'm like, he's like, yeah, you know, if you still, it's still, my offer still stands. If you need to come use my truck, you just let me know, text me, and I'll meet you at the end of the driveway and you can take my truck. He was an awesome man. His name was Carlo McCosey. He was a great postmaster, and he probably doesn't have social media or listen to podcasts. He's up, up in age, but he was an right. awesome postmaster, and I loved that man. And like I said, whenever I had him as a boss, I thought, you know, you set the bar high, dude, and every postmaster since has failed to meet that bar and miserably failed.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I do talk a lot of shit and call people out, and rightfully so. I don't call people out or talk shit on people who don't deserve it.
Right.
I also like to give credit where credit's due. And when I hear about these legends, these unicorns in management, man, listen, my hat's off and I got to give you credit. And I just want to say thank you. You know, I wish there was more like Carlo. Unfortunately, there's not, but God bless you, Carlo. But listen, I'm going to switch gears a little bit here.
Sure.
Now, I know we talked a little bit about it, but I want to talk a little bit about your union representation. Because your union steward, now you actually had a union steward in the office, correct?
No, okay, I didn't.
You didn't.
I've never had a union steward in my office.
Okay, but you did have somebody help you with that grievance when you got wrongfully terminated. Basically, they filed that grievance, got your job back, yada, yada. It was supposed to be, quote unquote, a win for you, right? I mean, that was the ADR that sent that up, but who started that grievance?
The steward for my area, which is, she's like, I don't know, however many towns away, like an hour and a half away from here.
Okay. Now you, well, this was 2019, 16. When was this?
Which one? The one I just got fired? That was just this year. I just went back to work July 17th.
Oh, okay. So I wanted to ask you, do you know by any chance Cindy Bachman?
No.
Okay. She's a district representative for PA here, but she's great for the rural side. She actually cares. She's sincere. I was just curious if she helped you at all, because I was going to give her a shout out. Because
No.
Honestly, if she helped you, you would know she helped you. So I didn't think she did, but I still wanted to ask. But your ADR, do you remember who the ADR was?
Yeah. My union steward was Jill Briggs, or is Jill Briggs. And
Jill
my
Briggs.
ADR is Sandra Clay.
Sandra Clay. Okay. Did you ever take this to the state president? I think it's Karen Schaefer, if I'm not mistaken.
No, but I did take it to a step above her, which was the man from Buckhannon. I think his name is John Adams, Buckhannon, West Virginia. He was super nice.
John Adams,
but he
Virginia.
Still said,
no pun intended.
He was from West Virginia.
Oh, yeah, because he's on the board on the national for the NRLCA.
Yeah. When I spoke to him, we had a very lengthy conversation, and he still agreed with Sandra Clay that, you know, well, I wouldn't rescind this settlement because, you know, the lead mechanic, it's all boiling down to what that lead mechanic says and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I just don't understand how his word can hold more weight than mine. How is he not lying and I am? And y'all act like I'm not being punished here, but I am being punished. I'm being punished financially. I'm being punished as of having a 7-day suspension on my record. And I'm also getting punished because I have those days of LWOP on my record. They're taken away from my vacation and my retirement. So yeah, I do have a punishment from something I never did.
So did John Adams actually help you?
He seemed like he was interested until he looked through, like he said there was 90 something pages of this file, but most of them were like in triplicate or whatever. But, you know, the main thing was, you know, that lead mechanic statement saying that, you know, because he said, if we went clear to arbitration with this, first of all, they would have to remove me again, be off work again. And I have not, still to this day, my unemployment is under review. So we would have to be off work again with no pay again. And then it could go clear to arbitration. And he said that person that's in arbitration, that, I don't know why the rural side is so scared of arbitration, because he said that one person gets to decide your fate, you know, and if he thinks that you remind him of his ex-wife, and he can decide against you. If he doesn't like the way you talk or the way you're dressed, he can decide against you. It's all up to his personal you know, preferences or ideas, whether you get your job back or not, or get back pay or not. And when the lead mechanic tells him that you did this, then he's probably going to believe him, and you're probably going to be fired for good, and you'll never get your job back.
Right. No, he's right. There's some truth to that, you know, and unfortunately for us, that's just the cold-hearted facts. And someone's having a bad day, they're going to take it out on us regardless, you know.
Right.
It's wrong, but it is what it is. That's what they do. But I don't understand that, because as much as I talk shit about the NELC, we push arbitration and we win a lot. So I don't know what there is to be scared of. Do we get decisions back that aren't in our favor? Absolutely. You know, but then we figure something out another way. And of course, management's going to fuck up another time. Then we find another past case and, you know, whatever was sent, we use that as precedent and we throw that into the grievance as well and send that up. It's just a shame that your union thinks like that. But I wanted to talk about the union stuff because while they did help you in a sense, I just want to flat out ask you, do you think you had poor representation or great representation? From whatever incident, well, from the time you came in till now, what's your take on the NRLCA?
Okay, so when I was dealing with my past postmaster, I had a different steward, and he was a good steward. His name was John Chapman. Yeah, he liked to drink a little bit, but you know, he was a good steward, and he would definitely put up a fight. He wanted me a lot of grievances, and you know, he definitely, you know, would fight for, you know, whatever you wanted to grieve. He would make sure that it was grievable, and he would proceed. You know, Jill, the new one, Jill Briggs, like, she just doesn't have the backbone that I would like her to have when it comes to fighting grievances. And, you know, there's been grievances I won in the past with John Chapman that I told her, you know, hey, you know, they're sending me out all this raw mail and I'm supposed to have DPS. We were supposed to be compensated with this for all this raw mail that they're sending through. They're just not running through DPS. So we won this in the past. I want to grieve it again. Oh, no. We've backed up. We've backpedaled on their position. That they did the language wrong. I said, how do you let previous union representation win grievances and then you people are going to take those wins back and say, oh, well, you know, if you make progress, that's the thing. When you're fighting against USPS, if you make an inch of progress, you have to hold that position. You cannot take a step back. And that's what they did. They took a step back. And this new gang, I had Gwyneth Whitfield was my ADR and John Chapman was my steward. I liked both of them. They both were no nonsense, not putting up with USPS's shit. This new gang of people, they're just lay down and take it. And this is a win. She'll never live that down. She was nasty with me on the phone the first time I spoke to her, and I kept calling her about, you know, hey, have you heard anything? Have you heard anything? She lied to me the day she said, told me she didn't hear anything because they had already settled my removal grievance and they were going to send me back to work the following week. But she didn't tell me that when I asked her on the phone, you know, hey, did you hear anything? No, I haven't heard anything. Well, then I get a letter in the mail saying I'm supposed to go back to work, and it's dated. They settled it before I talked to her. So I know she lied to me on the phone. And had she told me, hey, this is what they're offering. They want to send you back to work with no back pay and a 7-day suspension. Are you willing to take that? No, I'm not. Go to the next step. maybe somebody will finally see the light of day here and realize how fucked up this is. But she didn't give me that opportunity. She never asked me what I wanted. And I'm pretty sure that I made it clear I wanted my back pay and I wanted to take this all the way because I knew I was, I'm innocent.
Right. That's crazy. So it's fair to say that you're not happy with the NRLCA. Point blank.
I'm with the decertified people. You know, if we can get some other union in place, whether it be NALC, Teamsters, you know, my husband was a Teamster for years. So, you know, I'm down with that. I love the Teamsters. Their insurance is awesome. Way better, a million times better than the post office insurance. And I don't know what NALC is like, but it can't be any worse than the NRLCA.
No, and NALC is much better than your union. And you know what? I was going to ask you about there's decertification process, if you were a yay or nay. So you just answered that. But there are a lot of reasons why people are decertifying. And I know certain people aren't with the whole decertification process of your union. And I understand that. And listen, I also understand that there's very hardcore pro-union people out there. However, right. I can't speak for anybody but myself, but why would you want somebody representing you who is non-existent when you need them the most?
Right.
You guys should not be going through the shit that you're going through without having representation. You guys should have better, should expect better, should demand better. You know, National should be doing much more. Ronnie Stutz, come on, man. The guy's making nearly $200,000. I mean, with
guess
benefits.
What? He's retiring. He doesn't care.
I know. That's the thing. He never cared. Well, let me rephrase that. There was a time when he cared, but he got caught up into
when
the
he was
game.
A carrier.
Exactly. We all they all care. I know a lot of people who they take these positions, and I'm not just talking Postal Service, but you know, I know a few here as well. They take these positions into the National Union and they're making these, you know, big bucks now. And yes, they start out good. But then they get caught up in the game playing. They get caught up in the politics. And then the greatest thing of all, they get complacent. They don't fucking care no more. So I never understood what you guys have going here. If I was a rural carrier, it makes sense to decertify. However, for me, and I don't know if there's some truth behind this, from what I understand and from what I was told that Teamsters can't represent you guys because, you know, you're a federal agency. And also because it may be a conflict of interest, being that they are representing UPS as well. Mm-hmm. If that's true, and again, I don't have that direct, you know, that exact answer here, but if it's true and it holds some weight there, why not have the NALC represent you? Now, again, more money, more problems, right? The same philosophy, but you're going to have better representation. And believe me, when I tell you this, there's change coming to the NALC. There's big change coming. And I'm not a big hardcore gung-ho union guy, but I'm for justice. I'm for what's doing right by your people, regardless if it's a union or you're a manager or a father, whatever the case is, you need to do the right thing. You said it earlier. It's called integrity, man. Wake the fuck up and do the right thing.
Right.
But doesn't it make sense to go to an established union? I mean, look at your raises compared to our raises, number one. It doesn't even fucking compare.
We're lucky to get a raise. we more likely get pay cuts.
Exactly, which can be seen with all your rural carriers across this country who aren't even getting paid at all right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes more sense to me to why not push for somebody who's already established. Now, there will have to be some back talk behind the scenes. I know behind the scenes there has been some talks for years about merging with the NALC. As far as your union goes, but obviously we haven't gotten to that point yet. And then with our change at the top in leadership with the election, and then there's some other stuff going on in our union as well. Like I told you, there's going to be some changes coming, but if that comes to a vote on the floor in NARB and you guys get your 30% signatures that you need, which is like 36 or 39,000 of your membership and change there. But if you guys reach that and it goes to the floor for a vote, I'm telling you, man, don't look past the NALC. I know I talk a lot of shit about them, but I think if we were to merge, I think they would wake up more. Number first off, it may even open up for more jobs for people. But also on the flip side of that, we may be given the chance in the NALC to start fresh and bring in some fresh blood. People who care, who want to do a good job behind their members, who want to stand up for them, fight for them, represent them, and do what's right, right? Have that integrity. But I think that's a good thing. But I wanted to ask you, do you think that makes more sense? I mean, if you can't go Teamsters, but even if you can go Teamsters, does it make more sense to go with somebody who's already established?
I'll start off by saying that I am staunchly pro-union. Make no mistake, I don't want to not have a union. I've always had a union. I believe in unions. I believe in everything they stand for, mm-hmm. because without a union in the post office, you're doomed.
True.
But I agree with you with saying, you know, Teamsters is a great union. Don't get me wrong. Teamsters is a great union. We see what they did with their contracts time.
Mm-hmm.
They got a good contract, even though there's a lot of membership in the Teamsters that is not happy with that contract. If they had our contract, they would definitely be overjoyed about theirs. So, but I think that NALC is well-versed in dealing with USPS. So I believe that not only would it be good because they know the details of you know, USPS and how they operate, it also would give them a lot of bargaining power when it came to contracts, because whenever these contracts go, they're going to have more money to negotiate contracts because they're going to have a bigger membership. They're going to have more political action funds to have lobbyists to go and lobby for laws to help people who work for the post office. And they're also going to have, you know, power when it comes to negotiation, because they're not just representing one little branch and one little craft of the post office anymore.
Right.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense to keep it within in-house, so to speak.
Right. No, I absolutely agree 100%. And just to be clear, when I say I'm not pro-union, I'm not against unions either. Right. I'm just mm-hmm. not a very political person. You know, some people might get angry for me saying this, but, you know, this is just who I am. I don't vote. There's too much corruption and collusion within politics. And just with what goes on in politics and the political scene, the same thing goes on behind the scenes in a lot of these
right.
unions, corruption and
right.
collusion. And that's why
right.
I don't want to participate or take a certain side. I just like to talk about it. And I'm going to be frank. I'm going to be very blunt about shit and call a spade, you know, when you act in a
right.
fool, I'm going to call you out. But when you're doing well, I'm going to give you the recognition. So I just wanted to be clear on that. I'm not too sure when I said pro-union, I didn't want anybody to get the wrong idea when I said I'm not pro-union.
Right.
I'm for what's right. And I
right.
definitely 100% agree with you. Having representation is better than not having any
yeah.
representation at all.
It's a necessity in the post office. Let's face facts. If your postmaster doesn't like you for some reason, say you stand up for yourself, you're gone. Without a union, I'd have been gone, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I would have never made regular. You know, he
right.
got rid of me when the kiss my ass would have been, you're fired.
I think a lot of us would have been long and gone by now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if they have, they can't get rid of you. Like now they can't get rid of me on legitimate grounds because I'm good carrier. Now they're going to throw little, you broke the horn in here, you know, so it's nuts.
And you know what? It's funny that you just mentioned all that, because I want to ask you something else, where you stand on this, because this has been brought up many times. And listen, whatever any of you out there in the audience out here listening, federally speaking, whatever you do on your own time, that's on you. I don't judge you. I don't give a fuck, because it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my financial status. Whatever you do is what you do. However, I'm retired now, obviously, but when I worked, I had an issue with this. So, and that is, if you have a drug problem, a drinking problem, and it's affecting not only you, but the office as well, that's where I have a problem on many different levels.
Right.
Because just as the union can get your job back when you're fired and they're good at it, what I don't agree with is the catering to a lot of these people. And listen, if you got a drug problem or a drinking problem, I encourage you to get your help. My brother, I had enough. You know, I forced him to go. I paid for him to go when this happened. And he's doing well now. He's recovered. Thank God. He looks good. He speaks better. And he recovered. So I have skin in the game. And it's not just him. I have a lot of family who battles alcoholism. There's also people in my family who had drug problems. So I have skin in the game. So when I say this, don't get too emotional, people. Don't get too pissed off at me. But when you come into work and you're high as fuck, not only are you putting in danger yourself when you're out there operating that vehicle or any kind of piece of machinery, or just in general being at work, you're putting in jeopardy the people in that community. And I see it too many times. I come into work, I'll see somebody swaying at a fucking case, trying to, you know, case their mail. They're almost falling over. How many times do you got to say the magic words, I need help?
A lot.
And then you come back and it's not right. It's not right. And let me tell you why it's not right. While I want these people to get the help they rightfully deserve, and I want them to live a productive life, a healthy life, I want them to get better.
Right.
On a personal level. But when I talk shit, it's on a professional level, not a personal level, meaning there are no ill or malicious intentions behind what I'm speaking of right now. But you should not be able to come back to work over and over like that and work under those conditions. Because what happens? What are we experiencing right now? We're experiencing a shortages of CCAs or RCAs across the country. We're short-staffed. And that's not just us. It could be the plant. It could be clerks. But we're short-staffed. So when this happens and this clerk constantly, I'm sorry, when this carrier, in our case, constantly goes and checks himself into a place for rehabilitation, we don't get somebody to help us out. We all have to pick up the slack. When the first time happens, no problem. Second time, no problem. We're still pissed off, but we support you. When you're on your fifth plus sixth, seventh, at what point do we say enough is enough and have accountability for that person? Because number one, I'll tell you this. No one grows more than when you hit rock bottom, right? Because you can't go nowhere but up. So that's my whole take of it I wanted to talk to you about, because number one, we're having to pick up the slack for these people. Number two, they constantly come in all fucked up, whether, you know, whatever drug of choice it is, or if they're on the sauce, right? Whatever their poison be. It could even be a pain medication, you know, Oxy, you know, Vicodin, whatever the case is. How many times do we have to deal with this? So my question to you is, do you think it's right that people get to say, I need help, and then they still keep their jobs, but we're suffering on the back end? Do you think that's right, number one? Or maybe a better question to ask is, do you think there should be a limit of times before an agency, in this case, because we're in the federal sector, have a number set of, okay, this is what it is. Now, I know that crosses the fine line between some legal stuff. So I don't know the whole aspects behind that, but do you think it's right that these people can keep saying, I need help? They go to rehab, but they check themselves out, come back, and then it's just a repetitive, they're repeat offenders. And then to your point also, when we talked about a while ago about safety, well, they have stand-up talks about safety, but what about that carrier fucked up, you know, in a vehicle? And he could possibly kill somebody or himself. And then all of a sudden the post office thinks, oh, it's a tragedy. We got to do something about it. Well, wait a minute. We've been coming to you about this for a long time. You've known about this guy's problem, and you still allowed him to stay on the clock working and delivering the mail and driving a vehicle. But what's your take on all that?
My take is that, you should get to keep your job. Whenever you come, if you're willing to admit you need help and they send you to rehab, you should get to keep your job. But here's my thing, like, that's a management problem that we're understaffed. You're putting the blame on the person that has an addiction, but it's actually a management problem, because you should have adequate staffing to cover that person if they go in multiple, no matter how many times they need to go, they need help. This management should be able to fill in that position or carry the route yourself. And also, it's a management issue when that person is left to continue while they're visibly intoxicated, on whether it be on alcohol, marijuana, pills, whatever. If you're visibly intoxicated on the work floor, that's a management issue. You should be removed immediately, because I can tell you, they walked me because they said I damaged a horn. Put me on emergency placement over that. So you're going to leave someone who's intoxicated go kill someone's baby because you don't want to have to cover that route for the day? Come on now. That's ridiculous.
Right. No, good point. And you're absolutely right. That does fall on management. Absolutely. And again, listen to my audience out there. I'm not attacking these people at all. Again, I got skin in the game. I know what it's like. But as someone who, when I was working and dealing with this same thing, personally, it bothered me, but yet understood. I wanted him to get better. But as a coworker, it bothered me that much more.
Yeah, the burden's on you.
Because it did fall.
The burden's on you because of management.
You're right. It becomes on management. So perhaps the anger, resentment, whatever feelings in there that's negative should be focused towards management. You're right. And not the actual person.
You're taking time away from your family to cover what management should have figured out how to cover.
Correct. Good point. Look at that. You taught me something about myself today. I shouldn't be mad at that person. I should be mad at management. You're absolutely right. 100%.
I mean, you know, if your brother had an addiction, you know, like sometimes, you know, you do the best you can, but it's powerful. You know what I mean? These addictions are powerful, and these doctors, you know, you get an accident, no fault of your own, and then you end up hooked on pain pills, and then you end up on heroin because the doctor prescribed you this stuff.
Right.
You know, they were doing the same thing with my husband, trying to get him to take all these pain pills. And he said, I can't, you know, they want me to take these many pills in a day. As soon as I take this pill, I can't stay awake. And I'm like, they want you to be a zombie. You know what I mean? That's what everybody wants, is they want to pump you full of pills and just keep you going. Like,
right.
It's crazy to me. Like, the doctors can prescribe this stuff and expect you to have a quote unquote normal life because you can't.
Right. No.
So yeah. Fault the right person. Hold management accountable for not filling that vacancy. And if you were a caring manager, because I've seen it done many a times for my original postmaster, whenever shit got hard and shit got real at the post office, he would help us carry our routes.
Yeah. No, I've seen that as well. I was just pissed off that I had to pick up the slack. So again,
well, yeah.
I don't know how else to say that, man. And maybe it came out wrong. Hopefully no one took me wrong out there. And if they did, I apologize to them. But listen, what I don't apologize is for speaking my mind to something that management should have fucking taken care of, and they didn't.
Right. If I'm a manager and I see you and you look like you're under the influence, I'm pulling you off the floor. I'm sorry,
right.
Because I don't want it on my conscience. The same way that if you come to my house, if I invite you over for the 4th of July run and you look like you're intoxicated, I'm not letting you drive out of here.
Right.
I mean, plain and simple, because then it's on my head.
Exactly.
Then it's on my head. I'm saying, yo, you know, here's my guest bedroom. Stay overnight because, you know, I don't want you driving nowhere. Because first of all, I don't want you to get killed because I, you know, if I'm friends with you, I'm taking care of my friends and my family. And then I don't want you to go out and kill somebody else. I couldn't live with myself. Like I tell, you know, like I tell people all the time, like there's no way I could ever drink and drive or be intoxicated and drive, because all I can picture in my mind is me going and I'm kill someone's. If I killed someone's child, then I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't live with myself after that.
Right. Absolutely. No, I don't think I could either. But yeah, no, thank you for shedding some light and sharing the way you felt on that topic. Cause I think it needs to be talked about more. But unfortunately, people, there's a taboo to that conversation and people don't want to have it. But it's a conversation that needs to be had. You know, my brother wouldn't have got the help if I didn't have the conversation and, you know, the power to like, no, motherfucker, you're going, like, this is your life.
Right.
They need the help. And that's another thing. You talked about management. I think management, not only is they responsible for, you know, providing the safe environment for not only our coworkers and the community, but also that carrier in particular who is high or drunk, whatever have you, that falls on them. But also what falls on them, for me anyway, I think it should be on them, is getting them the proper help. Now, I know there's some that do that, but a lot of them do not because they just don't care. Because why? Because
they don't want to cover that route.
They don't want to cover that route, but why don't they find that particular carrier who has the problem, the addiction, the help that they deserve? Or why don't they help them get the help? Because they treat them like a warm body. They don't give a fuck.
Right. Well, here's another issue that, you know, people who have addictions, you know, I can hardly blame them for having a substance abuse problem of any fashion working for the post office, because
yes,
this place will literally drive you to do drugs, will drive you to become an alcoholic, will drive you to need something to
fill that,
get yourself through the day so you can go back to the doors of hell every morning when you go into work and put your shield and your armor on so you can face management every day.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. Well said. Absolutely. I agree 100%. And that falls under the toxic work environments that management causes, right?
Right. And they're the cause of the person's alcohol addiction. They're the cause of the person's drug addiction, possibly, because they treat them like a dog. And that's the only way they can make it through the day, is be under the influence.
Absolutely. And it's not right. Once again, everything falls on management.
Right.
You spoke a little bit a while ago about, was it Carlos? Right. Yeah, Carlos. About.
Yeah, Carlos.
Old school. The old kind of managers. And I think that, I believe it was in the 90s when we had all of those veterans behind the helm running the show of management. But I believe somewhere in the 90s, they all started withering away and retiring. So much was better, right? There was structure, there was discipline, there was accountability. Did they yell? Sure. I'm sure they did. But it was ran with that structure, discipline, and accountability in a military manner. Why? Because they had that service. They served the country, as opposed to today, where a lot of them don't have the service anymore. They're off the streets, or they're coming from a craft that they couldn't hack it, but they're running it more like a dictatorship, right? That's not running it like a military man would. I think that's what's missing from here, because I think those titans, those kinds of people, they're hard asses. They demand and expect the best out of you. However, they would also give the shirt off their back and go to bat for you and help you if you need it, because they want you to succeed. And I think that's what's missing as well, because we talked a little bit about it as well about this, but I don't think the post office has a hiring problem. It has a retention problem caused by a leadership problem.
Right. 100%. People don't leave jobs. They leave management.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's just not because of management. That's the organization as a whole, right? It's not.
Right. Well, it's toxic.
It's very toxic.
It's toxic.
But listen, do you have anything else that you want to share about your story that we did not talk about?
Since I came back to work the first day I came back, they gave me I went out on my route the first day after my manager had the nerve telling me at the meeting, at my welcome back meeting, that, you know, the other sub never had one problem with the LLV the whole time I was off.
Mm.
So I get in this thing. I start to go out on my route. Don't even make it out of the parking lot without realizing that I'm metal to metal on the brakes.
Wow.
I circle back around. I go back in. I said, well, now we have a problem, because you know why she didn't tell you there was something wrong with the vehicle? Because she saw what you did to me when I said there was something wrong with the vehicle. So now I had to wait. That day I waited for 2.5 hours on day one back for them to bring me another vehicle.
Mm.
So since then I've had my original vehicle has a gas leak. They took it the other day. They gave me a replacement vehicle. The horn is doing the same thing. When you turn the wheel a certain direction, it doesn't work. I have video of that. And then the following day I get in that same vehicle and the shifter indicator doesn't tell you what gear it's in. It's stuck in park. So I'm popping the gear shift up and down, and it's still stuck in, saying it's in park. I can't tell if I'm reverse, drive, whatever. So fill out a slip on that. I have to wait for another vehicle again. They bring me a third vehicle. This vehicle has the same horn issue as number two and number one. And it's, you turn the wheel a certain direction, horn doesn't work, and it has an exhaust leak. So now I'm driving it around, and they still haven't brought the original vehicle back. But from what I understand is that now the post office has realized that a certain year of LLV, which starts with the 431, are the most likely ones to catch on fire.
Mm.
And that just so happens to be the number of my original LLV.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I've had nothing but vehicle problems since I came back I'm on vehicle number. So 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I'm on number 4 now this week.
Do you guys have
in the past week?
Do you guys have any of the new vehicles like the Metris, ProMasters, anything like that?
Some routes around me have them, but they said that they mostly only give those out to AUGS routes because they're. It's just as bad, if not worse, than the LLV as in traction wise. They get stuck on like wet grass or mud.
Yeah.
So I haven't driven one of those, but reviews aren't good.
You know what I miss? I miss the old school, the Windstar vans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take one of those.
I wish they didn't take those out.
I'll take my F-150 back any day. But, you know, they don't want me to drive that. So
yeah,
I'm good.
So basically, it's still a LLV problem. So naturally, you're still filling out those 45, 65, 17, 67s.
Yep.
Keeping that documentation trail alive.
Oh, yeah. And I just gave her another one today because this one, the number 4 or 5, whatever I'm on now, is now giving me a whining noise when I'm turning the wheel. So indicating the power steering pump's about to go bad. So I said, I'm not getting blamed for any of this. I said, any squeak, any rattle, any noise, anything, I'm bringing it back. I'm taking pictures of everyone you give me every day on all 4 sides, because you're not blaming shit on me, bro.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I hear you.
Nope.
You just said that you had an issue with the truck today, right?
Mm-hmm.
It got me to thinking about another conversation that we had a little while ago off air here. And that is social media. Talk to me. Did someone get in trouble for making a post or something like that on social media?
Me.
It was you.
On my welcome back meeting. Mm. On my welcome back meeting, she said, you know, this is how you're supposed to behave on or off the clock and blah, blah, blah. And you're not allowed to post anything about the post office to USPS, to social media. It's public. It's a public forum and you're not allowed to post it on there and blah, blah, blah. And someone from the rural letter carriers page had screenshotted a comment I made, and she had the picture and showed it to me at my welcome back meeting and threatened to discipline me over a social media comment that I made about USPS and management and the union at that point in time.
Sounds like you had someone in bed with management. Man, what a fucking snake.
Yeah, that's what I said. And I went back on and made another post and told them all, you know, go ahead and screenshot this and take it to her. And while you're at it, why don't you eat a bag of eggplants, bro?
Listen, this podcast has no filter. You say what the hell you want to say, man. Because you got some people listening on here. Eggplants. What is what?
Eggplant emoji.
Oh, man, that's too funny.
Hey, whatever it is, you can still choke on it.
Yeah. But no, that's I know there's a social media policy, the rules online, if you will, right? According to the USPS. So I just want to remind everyone of those policies or rules, whatever you want to call them. So you are aware of what these are to better help you think before you speak, right? Which is something we all need to do a better job at, including myself, but especially management. But again, I want you all to know this so that it can help you, as I do not want any of you to get caught up and have management use this to their advantage. Now, these rules, again, social media policy, is from 2021 regarding the United States Postal Service. So I do not know if they have changed since then. So please, if you have any questions, ask management or your union store to provide you with an updated version of the social media policy. Management can get these from HR or even the social media team within the United States Postal Service. You or your union representative should be allowed to ask for this to know, because it needs to be put out there for all of us to know. And listen, while this pertains to United States Postal Service, please note that this knowledge can be put forth to whatever agency you are employed by, as it is also common sense what I'm going to share. But this is what the policy states, which again, from 2021. The Postal Service wants employees and contractors to remember they are prohibited from speaking for or on behalf of the organization on websites, blogs, and other forms of social media without permission. Again, kind of what I added and shared with you all on my Facebook group page rules. Under the organization's policy, employees must receive written permission from the United States Postal Service, social media and legal teams, and the appropriate vice president before establishing online accounts that represent the Postal Service. Now, failure to follow this policy could result in corrective action, including removal from the Postal Service. This policy does not infringe on employees' ability to have their own social media presence or personal accounts. However, in their account profiles, employees should note that they don't speak on behalf of the organization. Again, it's one of the rules you agreed to when you joined my Facebook group page, Fed Up. So you're covered there. A little CYA, if you will, for y'all, right? Keep in mind that the social media team does conduct routine audits of sites that claim to represent the Postal Service, and those unverified sites are routinely removed. Now, that doesn't apply to us because we're not going to be fraudulently creating a page representing our agency. But please, don't do that, right? Don't claim to represent the United States Postal Service or whatever your agency is. Do the opposite. Claim that you do not speak for or on behalf of your agency that you are employed by or the agency that you are talking about, right? Again, just a little CYA, cover your ass again, right? Better to be proactive than reactive. Now, there's an email here for the social media team at the United States Postal Service to reach out to for further information, but I advise you to ask your management or your union to help get you the updated policy on the social media policies and rules to educate yourself. I will try and get this from some of my contacts as well and update you all about this social media policy regarding the Postal Service, just to keep you all informed and updated on that so you can take proactive measures to protect yourself, because we all know how management is. And we all know that there are also snakes out there who may be in a particular group page we are both a member of. And if they don't like you, they're going to do something and take what you post and tell management about what you're posting and try, the key word here is try, to get you in trouble. But if you follow what is put out there within your agency's social media policies or rules, you got nothing to worry about there. That's the way I look at it as far as you guys. You shouldn't let them censor you. But still, pay attention to those policies within your agency, and you got nothing to worry about. Again, common sense. Also, don't say things like, I'm going to kick so-and-so's ass, or let's go on strike tomorrow, right? Basically, anything that's a threat can be deemed as a threat, anything malicious in nature. You got to be careful with all that, especially if you are an active employee in your respected agency. That's just dumb at that point, right? Be smart, people. I want to see you stand up for yourself and fight back, but you got to also exercise some kind of discipline with what you say and how you say it. Also, be careful with posting anything on social media, especially with pictures within or of postal property on or off the clock, or posting something while on the clock, as this may or may not lead to corrective action. Again, you got to ask these questions to your union representation or management. Get updated and real-time answers to the social media policy. I just want you all to be safe and to be educated when it comes to this, while at the same time, speaking what's on your mind and standing up for yourself, right? That's important. I mean, at least in my mind it is, but you just got to be careful, as just like in Danielle's case, people are going to see that. And while you may or may not be held accountable or have corrective action taken against you for that, you may be putting yourself out there and targeted or retaliated against because you may say something that someone else doesn't like. You know, the whole, you hurt my feelings, passive aggressive, type B personalities out there, the snakes, right? Who are in bed with management, right? So just be careful. That's all I'm saying, people.
Well, my thing is I posted to a private page. I didn't post it publicly. And also, they had to do a whole lot of digging to figure out it was me because I don't have the same last name on Facebook that I do in real life. And I also don't have listed my workplace because if you look at my page, which you probably can't because it's private and I don't accept new friend requests from people that I don't know because I don't trust people.
Right.
It says I work at hell, which isn't a lie either. So somebody within the rural carrier page who is actual other rural carrier that has nothing to gain from screenshotting this and sending it to my boss, whether it be solicited or not, then, you know, you're a snake because you have nothing to gain from that. Why would you go sell me out because you think you're getting brownie points?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like these ass kissers, they think they're getting somewhere, but the first opportunity that they can get something from selling you down the river, you're the next one in line on the chopping block. So don't kid yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you find out anything about that social media policy, let me know because I'm curious.
Yeah, I will. I will.
But I mean, anything else you want to share?
No, I'm just hoping that you know, that I don't get in trouble over this over doing this podcast. But you know, at this point, you know, I feel like I've already exhausted. I've filed EEOs. I've filed charges with the National Labor Relations Board. I've went to the OIG. I've talked to the PUMs. I've done, you know, I've been through it all in my time here at the post office. And hopefully, you know what I mean, I can, all I want from here on out the rest of my career is peace at my workplace as well as, you know, at home. You know, I want to go in. I want to do my job. I do it to the best of my ability every day. I take pride in my work. You know, I love my customers, and you know, USPS ruins a lot of good employees by the way they allow and encourage their management to treat people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it needs to stop.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with that. Now, Danielle, I want to ask you, to the listeners out there who may be listening, who are not in the United States Postal Service, who aren't even in the federal sector, Maybe they're a, you know, someone with a position of power that can help us. Maybe it's a politician. Maybe it's a political reporter, whatever have you, anybody in the media. What would your message be to these people listening who have no idea when they listen to this and like, oh my God, what would your message be to those people?
If there's politicians out there that can affect change within the toxic work culture of the post office, it needs to be done because you got a lot of dedicated people who love their jobs, and those people need your help because right now you have people running USPS that are, you know, encouraging the bullying behavior. They claim it's a zero tolerance workplace, but that only applies to craft employees. That does not apply to management. As a matter of fact, they encourage them to treat us like garbage. And the only way that's going to change is if the politicians get involved, because that's the only ones that are above USPS, so to speak, to get these things under control. And, you know, there needs to be lawyers to help people like me who, if there's any lawyers listening that you know, get my contact information from Ron. You know, I want to sue USPS to get my payback because I've been wrongfully terminated and got my job back. But in my eyes, it is not a win to just get my job back. A win is to be made whole. And to be made whole, I need to have back pay and I need to have this stuff removed off of my record.
Right. Well said. Now, to the opposite of that, to people out there listening who are going through it right now, who did go through it and are still going through it, just like you and I did, and you still are, what would your message be to these people out there who are listening to this podcast? What would your message be to them?
My message to people who are able to financially, if you're not too far in, like myself, you know, if you find something that brings you joy and you can afford to leave USPS, which a lot of us can't, leave if you can, go get another job that makes you happy. At this point, I'm too far in to get out. And I know a lot of people are the same as me. They're too far in financially. They can't afford to go get another job. You know, USPS, that's the one thing they got going for them is they pay fairly well. And, you know, when you wait 8.5 years to get full time, you think all your problems are going to be solved, but they're not. But my message to you people like me, you're not alone. There's a lot of people like you out there. And the only way that we can change everything is if we stick together. You know, when you see somebody else in your office, another rural carrier that's having issues with management, and, you know, they want a witness statement from you, don't be afraid to back them up. Don't, and you know, have them file an EEO, because then your statement will be anonymous. They'll come in and interview you, and there won't be any repercussions on your behalf. I know it's scary because you see that the person who speaks up is that target. I've been that target for almost my entire career, and I had no one to speak up for me because I'm in a small office. People didn't want to get themselves into trouble and get themselves, you know, the target on their back, so to speak, because they saw what happened to me.
Right.
But the only way that this toxic work culture is going to be gotten rid of is if we stick together. And that's talking about clerks standing up for carriers, carriers standing up for clerks. If you see somebody getting mistreated, you know, and then the question's asked of you, don't lie. Don't say you didn't hear anything. And to these people who are the snakes and the ass kissers in any craft, you should be ashamed of yourself. Have some integrity. How can you sleep at night whenever you go around and sneak around and think that these little lies you're telling or little tales that you're telling to the boss are going to get you somewhere? It's not going to get you anywhere, because like I said before, if the opportunity is given to that supervisor and they're going to get a little bit of brownie points from their boss by selling you down the river, you're next.
Right. Well said. Couldn't agree anymore. Listen, Danielle, it's been a blast having you on. I appreciate you coming on the show today. We'd love to have you on in the future, you know, an update of your situation, if you will. But thank you for joining us, and thank you for this conversation. It's definitely been a pleasure.
Well, I thank you for having me on, Ron. I appreciate it. And hopefully I'll be talking to you and I'll still be employed in the future.
Listen, if that happens, please call me, because I'll do what I can for you. There should not be any retaliation for this. This is off the clock. And a matter of fact, this is going to tie into my message now. So, and that is, at the end of my show, I leave usually a couple quotes or messages, if you will, for management, the unions, for my listeners, whatever the case is. Right now, this is going out to management. Listen, man, there's a reason why people are upset. There's a reason you can't keep people. And I said it before, I'll say it again. You don't have a hiring problem. You have a retention problem that starts with the leadership problem. It's your guys' actions that are dictating all of this. You guys promoting the toxic work environments, right? So at the end of the day, you got to say to yourselves, what am I doing wrong? Because at the end of the day, it's you and it's your wrong that you're promoting to the entire office. So wake the fuck up, get your head out your ass, do some reflecting and do the right thing. It's called integrity, right? No one owes you anything, right? You want to lead, right? Lead by example.
Right.
That's all I really want to say on management, man. People don't leave bad jobs. They leave because of bad bosses, poor management, who don't appreciate their value. Do the right thing when no one is looking. It's called integrity. I say it all the time, and I'm never going to stop saying that, because it holds weight, and it's very, very, very true. So please do the right thing. Focus on improving yourself, not proving yourself. You know, again, your organization doesn't have a recruitment problem. It's a retention problem caused by a leadership problem, right? Your members, they're not just speaking opinions. They're not just holding grudges. They remember facts. And the facts are, you're treating them like garbage. Again, you don't want to be named on this podcast. Listen, do the right thing. You don't want to be talked about by people on this podcast. Do the right thing. Stop being a supervisor. Stop being a boss hole, right? Evolving involves eliminating. So eliminate that toxicity in your management style. And for the unions out there, man, what do I begin with you guys? You either doing the right thing or you're not doing the right thing. You can't just pick and choose when to do the right thing. You know, the same quote with integrity applies to you guys. Do what's right, man. Especially since you're fucking getting paid. Members are paying you guys for representation and you're taking the money and run. You know, you're no different from a fucking politician as far as I'm concerned. The only difference is you may end up getting decertified, and rightfully so, by your members. Too many of your people lost their lives. Too many of the people went homeless, lost their marriages, lost their kids, because you were not there for them. Step the fuck up, do your job, what's expected of you, and help your members. Because at the end of the day, the union starts with you. The union starts with each and every individual one of you. The only difference is you guys get paid. So wake up. Again, you guys need to get your head out your asses. Stop being so damn complacent, right? Respect is earned. Honesty is appreciated. Trust is gained and loyalty is returned. Right now, you guys got none of that. Zero. You got zero in all four of those columns. You got no respect, right? The people expect no honesty from you. There's zero trust for you. And they sure as hell ain't no loyalty. The only loyalty that's existent is amongst yourselves. Stop with the bullshit, man. Do the right thing. It's called integrity. And for those of you who are struggling out there, Danielle said it best, man. You're not alone. Reach out. Anybody going through anything, just talk to somebody. That's all you really got to do, man. Kindness begins with the understanding that we all struggle. And there's a bunch of us who are struggling, but I found out that the best support system for us who are struggling are the same people who are going through the same struggles in a different way. Just talk to somebody, man. You're not alone. Again, Danielle, thank you for joining the show. I appreciate it. Until next time, stay safe, my friends.
That about does it here for us at Fed Up. Please don't forget to like, follow, and share this podcast. And if you are fed up like everyone else is and want to share your story and experiences, your issues and frustrations, and want your voice to be heard, I invite you to be a guest on this show. There's strength in numbers, and together, by sharing our stories, we can and will make the change that is needed. Just send me an email at one.fedup.podcast@gmail.com. Again, that's the number 1.fedup.podcast@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Again, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay safe out there, my friends.